Now that you're here.
Amen. If we'd open our Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 8. And we'll read from verse 18 through 23. You'll have to forgive me. My voice is much lower than normal. And I've been battling a cold for the last 2 days. So, Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now look, this is the hour that the glory, which is the doxa, that's the Greek word is doxa, and it means the values and the opinions and the judgments of God, this is the hour they're supposed to be revealed in us. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now look, it's groaning and travailing because it is not in the condition it was meant to be in. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're a privileged people, Lord, to have this opportunity to come and worship Thee in spirit and truth. And believing, Father, that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that You came down in a visible manifestation in this hour. You revealed Yourself in the pillar of fire through a prophet. And we're thankful, Father, because You have come with Your word to restore us to the rightful position that we had with You as we walked and talked in the garden back in the days when Adam and Eve walked the earth. And so, Lord, we just commit our understanding of this scripture tonight. We ask that You would bless it. And we pray that Your doxa, which is Your values, Your opinions, and Your judgments, would be revealed in us and to us, that in our bodies it might bring forth a manifestation to all of Your creation. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're not going to focus on what this manifestation is tonight, because I've already taught that about 5 years ago in the Masterpiece series. And to basically fill you in on what I did teach, I showed how there is only one verse of Scripture that actually speaks of the manifestation of the sons of God, and that's verse 19 in Romans 8. However, you cannot understand that verse without first reading verse 18, which speaks of the doxa of God, the glory of God, that is to be revealed in us. Because after all, if there's nothing in you to reveal, then what's going to be manifested on the outside? In other words, you cannot have manifestation, which is something outward, without first having some inward thing take place. So the Apostle Paul speaks of something being revealed in us. Then he speaks of that something manifesting itself. Now, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He also said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you put those two together. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The things that you say are already seeds in your mind. You see? And so if you water those seeds, it produces a fruit. So if you've got bad fruit coming, you don't water those seeds. It's just as simple. But if you have good fruits, which is whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he said, think on these things. So if we would focus on the things that are of Christ, then it will manifest outwardly the things that are Christ. All right? Now, many people chase after the idea that the manifestation of the sons of God is some great super-duper expression in the bride. And I believe it's just the opposite. It is the nature of the Son of God being revealed to the sons of God and through the sons of God, and then being revealed in the sons of God by the new birth. Now, as I've mentioned before, I get letters from all over the world, and people say, brothers, you know, they say, well, what is a manifestation of the sons of God? And I say, well, if you can tell me what manifested Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then I can tell you what the manifestations of the sons of God will be, because it can't be any different. As Brother Brown said, if he's the example seed, as Paul said, if he's our pattern, then it's got to be the same thing. And the Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And if you see that same Christ's life all the way down through the ages, God was in the prophets in a part, in a measure. But he was in his son in the fullness. And you notice in every prophet, they were obedient to God. It's just that simple. It's not working yourself up into something that you're not. It's just simply recognizing that he's sovereign, you're not. He is the way, the truth, and life, you are not. So it's a matter of just yielding. The biggest trouble we have in society today is yielding. And so people, you know, one says something you don't like, so you get your feathers ruffled, and you say something back in defense. Just let it go. Learn to just let go and let God. Let God fight your battles, because as long as you fight your battles, you'll never win. You're outgunned. In this world, you are totally outgunned. Many more are the children of the harlot than she which has a husband. So, you know, that Satan has more of his seed out there than the seed of God. So just learn to let go, receive the pattern, which is Christ, follow, step into that pattern. As Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. Yet it's not I that's living anymore, but Christ is living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God, his faith. It's his revelation. So Brother Branham said, he said, from Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, look, Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. Now, was that Brother Branham? He said, Christ in you makes him the center of the life of the revelation. So what does that mean? It means you're not even in the equation. It means that you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. In fact, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul taught us in Colossians 3 and 3. He said, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So if you're dead, look, how many have ever seen a dead horse kick back? You can strap it all day long, it just don't kick back. Jesus had turned the other cheek. Die to yourself. And let the Holy Spirit live the life of Jesus through you. See, here's the thing. Jesus died that we might live. Now God wants you to die to self so that Christ can live again in you. Amen? Well, let me continue reading from Brother Branham what he had to say about the new birth. From Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, now look, Christ in you makes him the center of the life of the revelation. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Now notice he says this twice for emphasis. First he says Christ in you. Then he stops and he has to explain this, because people think when he says Christ, immediately they think the body, Jesus, the man. But see, the word Christ means anointing, anointed, and anointer. So Christ can speak of God who anointed his son Jesus, or can speak of the son who was anointed, or can speak of his God life that anoints you, the anointing, you see. So you have to look at how the scripture is worded so you understand, is it talking Father, Son, or the God life that's to be in us. Now notice he says it twice for emphasis, but then he says, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Now, if you still have a problem with having to be the center of attention, you haven't died to yourself yet. William Branham is explaining the new birth, that it is a revelation that takes place within you. And since he's talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, we might as well add what the Apostle John said as well about the revelation of Jesus Christ. In 2 John verse 9, he said, for John says in 2 John 9, whosoever transgresses, and the word transgress means to go beyond the limits, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, in other words, remains not in the doctrine, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now, simply put, if you do not have this revelation of Jesus Christ revealed in you, somewhere you've ventured outside the boundaries of the doctrine of Christ, and thus you do not have God, and neither are you echoing God, because that word hath, in both cases there, is translated from the Greek word echo. And it's no different. The Greek word echo is no different from our word echo. It means you're not saying the same thing in the same way. Now, you could say the same thing. You can quote Scripture. But unless you're saying it the same way it was said, you're not echoing. You see, echoing means to say the same thing in the same way with the same inflections. A lot of people quote Scripture and they quote it to their damnation. The devil quoted Scripture to Jesus. And Jesus refuted with Scripture. So you got Scripture fighting Scripture. But if you say it the way he said it, with the same inflection, same spirit, it's like I've said this many times. Two young men are sitting there. We got two young guys back there. Say they're at school and one of them sees a real pretty girl. She goes, "See that girl? She's beautiful." And the other guy says, "See that girl? She's beautiful." They said the exact same words, but one said she's not beautiful. The other said she is beautiful. But they said the same thing. But the inflection is different. That's why you can quote yourself right to hell with the Bible. Because if you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, you're going to quote it like man would quote it. There is a way that seems right to man, but the way thereof is the way of death. It's not that difficult, brothers and sisters. It's simply just yielding to the Holy Spirit. Just dying to self. Now, as I mentioned, simply put, if you don't have this revelation of Christ revealed in you, somewhere you've either ventured outside the boundaries of Christ or you've never received the Holy Spirit. Now, in looking back at what Brother Branham said about the new birth, it continues, Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Now, I hope that this is not too deep for you, because this Bible here is his story. It's all about him. And then he says, Christ in you. Now remember, he's talking about Christ's life. So Christ's life in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. What does that mean? It means you ought to be able to read this and hear God talking to you. Not just reading it like a history. It's God's words. It's his word. Reading his word and God speaking here. See? Now don't take his words wrong and run with them. It's not all about you. It's all about him living his life out through you. You are dead and your life is hid, remember? Then he says, see what God's trying to do? What is a new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is a new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See? Not you joined a church, you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible, he is the word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place is Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. You see, it's not what some man tells you. It's what God said in his word. Again, he's still talking about Christ's very life living itself out in you. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. I am. I am crucified. In other words, look, he also said in Romans 7, who can deliver me from the body of this death? When I would to do good, evil is present with me. You see? We struggle with this flesh. Why? Because it's not the body that God intended for us. We'll get that when we get our body changed. You see? And Paul called it the body of this death, but he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord who giveth me the victory. How did he give you the victory? By his blood. You see, when you do wrong, and there's something within you that tells you you've done wrong, listen to it. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Then don't keep going on and on into that wrong. Just stop right there. Say, Father, forgive me. May the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse me from that and help me not to do it again. It's not that difficult. In fact, he made it so simple for us. And if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Now, he says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I that's living, but Christ is living in me, and the life which I'm now living in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, we all know that faith is a revelation, so he's living by the revelation of Jesus Christ. From the message leadership, Brother Brown said, and like a baby formed in its mother's womb, when the baby comes into the mother's womb, by the little germ it crawls into the egg, it doesn't form one cell a human, and the next cell a dog, and the next cell a cat, and the next cell a horse. It's all human cells because it's building off of an original human cell. And when a man has been born again of the Word of God, predestinated to eternal life, called the elected, it'll be Word of God on top of Word of God, Word of God on top of Word of God. Not a denominational creed and then the Word of God and then a creed. It won't work. You can't have the leaven in it. Only one eternal life, Jesus Christ the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. From a sermon, Divine Healing, Brother Branham said, now, you notice those people who sit and say, well, I accepted the Lord. You take their word for it. I would too. I can't judge. But God does. But in 10 years from now, they've never progressed a bit. Just staying right in the same old place. See, we grow daily. Each day our heart hungers. It keeps moving on. There's something growing inside of you. Amen. You get bigger and spread out and can take more. Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, excuse me. He said, you're maturing and growing. But when you ought to be teachers, you're still babes needing teaching. Is that right? When you ought to be teachers, something in there growing out, pushing out, making bigger, the Holy Spirit growing, the new birth. If a birth is born from the inside out, the child is, it grows if it lives. And if it doesn't, it remains. Is that right? Well, when a child is on the inside, shouldn't it grow? The Christ in your heart ought to be growing daily, getting bigger, more powerful, understanding things better, forgiving, walking on as God would, till Christ be formed in you, the hope of glory. You see, that's where you need to look into the Word on a daily basis. You know, the mother, she gets big and she goes to the doctor and puts a stethoscope. He gets the sonogram. And they look and see the baby's growing. They see progress. Well, you know, if you've been claiming to be a Christian for 10 or 20 years and you haven't grown, you haven't been born again. You've been coming to church, you're a good church person, but you haven't been born again. You see, until you begin to see Christ's life in you, you haven't been born again. And that's what Brother Ram's saying here. So let's look at these last two statements he says here. He says that the Christ in your heart ought to be growing daily, getting bigger and more powerful, understanding things better, forgiving, walking on as God would, till Christ be formed in you. That's your hope of glory. Now the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now to understand what this means, you need to read the entire book of Galatians, and especially the fourth chapter, because Paul has been teaching them how that Christ is to live out his life in them. And as we grow in Christ, his own life should be forming in us. But Paul wasn't seeing that. He said, why, when you ought to be teachers, you're fussing? You know, he says, you're fussing with this one, you're fussing with this one. And he said, when I first came to you, he said, you would have plucked out your eye and given it to me. But he said, now because I teach you the truth, he said, you're upset, you're angry. And then Paul says, I travail in birth. I don't see growth. Do we have a still birth? I'm looking for Christ to be formed in you. You see? In a sermon, Queen of Sheba, Brother Branham said, as I said this morning, if the first branch of the vine brought forth a Pentecostal church, every real branch out of that vine will bring forth another Pentecostal church. But what we got, a lot of grafted branches, and they bring forth after their kind. We got Methodist branch grafted into it, Baptist branch, Pentecostal branch, every other kind of a branch. It bears its own fruit. You can take an orange tree and put a grapefruit in it, graft it on, and it'll live off the life of the tree, but it'll still bear a grapefruit. And if you put a lemon limb grafted onto an orange tree, it's going to still produce lemons, even though it's using the life of the orange tree. And how many people do we have that are grafted in, so to speak, but haven't died? And so they're living a life, but it's not Christ's life. Not producing oranges. You see, not producing Christ. It's a denominational seed grafted in. And all the denominations, they use Christ. All the Christian religions, they use Christ. But where do you see the life of Christ? You've got to die to self and allow Christ to live again in you. You see, it'll live off the life of the tree, but it'll bear grapefruits. Put a lemon there, it'll bear lemons, not an orange. Yet it's living off of the orange life. See, any citrus fruit the same. Any church professing to be Christian thrives off the glory and the praises of Christ. but it can't bear the fruit. It won't bear the life of Christ until Christ puts forth that branch himself. And who do we believe came down to this hour? God came down to this hour to do what? To bring forth that branch. William Branham was so conformed to the image of Christ, a lot of people thought he was. They were wrong. But I'd sure like to have that testimony that people thought I was Christ because they looked at my life. Huh? What about you? Is your life worthy of the gospel? A Christian is not a tool or some kind of a mechanical wrench to a great big religious regime. That's right. A Christian's not some kind of a tool that keeps a religious organization moving. I know one pastor told me years ago, he said, well, it's good to have big churches because it pays the light bill. I disagree with that. I think Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. He said, I'd rather preach the truth to four corners, empty, in other words, an empty congregation, but teach truth than to have 5,000 people in the congregation. Oh, you'll make a lot more money, and you'll pay the bills, and you have bigger church and bigger name. All this other stuff goes with it. But the rich young ruler who had so many barns, he still couldn't put it all in, and he looked up his eyes from hell. And yet when he came to Jesus, he said, I do your Ten Commandments. I do all these things. And Jesus, looking at him, discerning, he loved him. Yet Jesus said to him, now, one thing. Not just go sell your things, because that means nothing. But come, take up your cross and follow me. The man was not willing to take up his cross. He was not willing to die to self. That's where we stand tonight. Are we willing? Are we not? Now, the people were fussing in Galatians, and Paul said, when you ought to be teachers, you are still babes, fussing and fighting with one another. You see, Brother Ram said, a Christian is to be Christ-like. And a Christian cannot be a Christian until Christ comes into the man, the life of Christ in him. Then it produces the life that Christ lived, and you do the things that Christ did. What am I talking about? Personal relationship to Christ. What is it? Is your life worthy of the gospel? As I said, Paul said, I travail in birth until I see Christ formed in you. I don't see growth. I don't see nothing happening. My little children, not adults. My little children, not even grown children. My little children, not elect lady. But little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now the word form here was translated from the Greek word morpho, which means to shape you. Paul was looking for the Holy Spirit to mold and shape the elect into mature sons and daughters of God, not a bunch of infighting little children. You ever watch little children fuss, fight, or big children fuss and fight? If you're not involved in the conflict, and you can really sit back and watch, it's very comical. Because usually what they're fighting over is absolutely means nothing. A little bit of space, you're crowding me. A little bit of, you know, inside your personal space, or you took my Cheerios, whatever. I mean, just some of the fights are so silly. It's because they're children. From his sermon, Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy, Brother Branham said, Pentecost, that's why Luther lost his message. That's how Wesley lost his message. See, if the Wesleyan church would have went on, they'd have become Pentecostals. If the Lutheran went on, they'd have become Methodists. See? And now if the Pentecostals go on, it'll be the bride. If you hang back and keep going back into the world like you're going now, you'll be lost. It'll only be the shuck and the stalk is to be burned. You know that. He'll gather his wheat into the garner, but the husks he'll burn with unquenchable fire. Although it was a carrier, it certainly carried life, but the life left it as soon as it became a leaf. It went on out to make something else, until it come to its full stature. And so will the church come through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, restoration of the gifts, right on into the formed image of Christ. Christ is the bridegroom, the church is the bride, and Christ is a part of the bride, and the bride is a part of the bridegroom. It'll have to be a word church, not a denominational church. It'll be the word church, the word that's made known by the vindicated word of God. And we know what vindication is. God told us in Deuteronomy, if a man speaks, thus saith the Lord, and the thing come to pass, fear him. Otherwise, you don't fear anybody. You don't have to fear me. I'm not vindicated. You don't have to fear any priest or pastor. They're not vindicated. God's word is vindicated. And that's it. Brother Bram said in his sermon, Marriage of the Lamb, he said, when you come into Christ, you're no more of the world. You are of Christ. You care not for them things of the world. They're dead to you. For he that loves the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in him. You see, you can't be an artificial Christian. You can be an artificial professed Christian, but you can't be a Christian until Christ injects himself by the baptism of the Holy Ghost into you. Then you're connected with him and you're no longer twain. You are one. Christ promised to be in us as the Father was in Christ. He said, I and my Father are one, and you and I are one. See, Christ in us. Then why do we think that we are one just because we have the right doctrine? That is just one fruit in the woman's headband. Remember, she had 10 fruits, and 9 of those fruits are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, patience, and love. You see, where is that in the churches today, I ask you? From images of Christ, Brother Branham said, Lord, may we receive his Spirit tonight. May that be the hunger of every heart in here. You see in the hands that went up, Lord, not to say creeds or join the church or fuss upon these things or that, but to be humble in our hearts, to be made conformed to the image of God. May it be done by the Holy Spirit, Lord. May God's Holy Spirit make us, not by intellectual conception, that we should be and will act like it, but that's an adopted baby. But Lord, may it really happen by the Holy Ghost in a new birth that transforms us by the renewing of our spirit to make us like him. Hear my prayer, Lord. It's feeble, I know, Lord. It's feeble. Not only am I praying for those who held their hands up, but for my own hands who went up. Make me like him. God, no matter what you have to do to me, what planes I have to come and make me like him. I want to be like Jesus in my heart. Grant it, Lord. And not only me, but make all of these here tonight thus. Grant it, Father, for we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Here, a man of God who is so much like Christ, people thought he was, and he wanted to be more like Christ. And that's exactly what William Branham, vindicated prophet of God, said. From questions and answers, he said, and if you have not received the Holy Ghost, and your life does not feel sweet, no matter if you spoke in tongues, if you shouted, if you jumped up and down, if you laid hands on the sick and they recovered, if you've done all kinds of miracles and signs, if you haven't got the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, gentleness, patience, faith, and all these things in you, then I command you and constrain you in the name of Jesus Christ to not cease praying until the Holy Ghost comes on you. No matter how much you've spoken tongues, how much you've shouted, how much you've belonged to church, you've been a good church member, if you've been there, been here, what all you've done will have nothing to do with until Christ, the Holy Spirit, takes his place in your heart and you're dead to the things of the world and live anew to Christ. Again, from images of Christ, he said, brother, to be a Christian means to be conformed to the image of Christ. We want to be living images, not pack an image, but be an image of the Lord Jesus. There's a little song that I want you to help me sing right now. I don't know, I can't sing it, but I'm sure that you all know it. Help me to be like Jesus. And it goes something like this. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him. And from identification, he said, or do you find yourself identified with his true disciples? Amen. That's where we want to be, true to him, true to his word. Stay up in the face of critics. Amen. Is that what you find yourself identified tonight? Thank the Lord. Amen. Letting the life of Christ flow through them. Yes, sir. They had been sanctified by his coming, and a sinful man upon confession, and a sanctification had cleansed them, and their hearts were so centered to God until Christ poured himself into them and reflected his presence to the world. In the face of critics, they stood like he did. They stood true to his word, even till one said, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. One of his critics. Now, in getting back to our text, Paul spoke of travailing with our childbirth until Christ be formed in us. And not only did Paul travail, But we also read where the whole creation is groaning and travailing together for the sons of God to finally manifest themselves as sons of God and not like little children. From Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So not only was Paul travailing, not only is creation travailing, we're travailing. And not only they, he says, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, why does a person groan? Well, you groan because you see things that ought not to be. You know, somebody gets all upset and they get torqued off and you, that's groaning. Sometimes you say something you shouldn't have said and you groan, oh Lord, why did I do that? You're groaning. Why? Because you know you're not what you're supposed to be. Amen? We all have that problem. Now, have you ever stopped to realize how little issues usually are? Even in families of kids, like I said, fussing amongst siblings, most of the fussing is over such little trivial things. When you begin to analyze these things, just look at them, you think, how stupid that we would get so much anger, so much worked up over something that absolutely means nothing. And you know what? If it was your best friend that maybe sat too close, you wouldn't care. But if it's your brother or your sister, you want to smack them. Why is that? Huh? You're a respecter of persons. That's right. Learn to let go. If you don't feel comfortable, somebody sitting that close to you, just slide down a little bit. That's what Jesus said. If they slap you in the face, give them the other cheek. Give them the other cheek. Brother Bram said in Inner Man message, he said, would you like to know what I think the greatest need of the church is today? Would you like to know what I think? Where I think the lacking is? There's no travail of soul. There's no soul travail. The people are not broke up enough. There's no burden, seemingly. And you give me someone that's just so tore up about lost souls that they just cry and are wanting a revival so bad till they can hardly eat. Just simply they can't. And if you'll read the history of the world and the religious history, you find out it's always taken that kind of a spirit to bring a revival. That's right, see? When Zion travailed, why then she brought forth children. You see? You have to be tore up. It's the atmosphere of anything, like we preached the other day. You create the right atmosphere, and it'll bring the thing to pass. Brother Bram said the right. He said the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. Now, you all know, you ladies, you know that if you gripe and fuss at your husband, and then you expect him to do something nice for you, it ain't going to happen, unless he's just a real super Christian. But you know, he takes that atmosphere and it repels him back. So if you want something, what do? You create the right atmosphere and he drops right into it. Right? Well, what do you think about the Holy Spirit? You think a dove nature, which the Holy Spirit appeared as a dove in Jesus, you think a dove nature can light itself upon a wolf or a she-bear? No. The dove and the lamb have two natures that are compatible. And we're supposed to have natures as a lamb. The Holy Spirit has a nature as a dove. He's very timid. But Paul said all creation is groaning, watching the childish nature of the sons of God. Why? Because they know that they're waiting on us to be restored to their rightful place and for us to be restored to our rightful place that we lost in the garden. From the breach, Brother Ram said, now something lost and it's groaning. It's trying to get back to be back to its original condition. Would you imagine somebody falling from the earth down into a pit somewhere and was struggling, climbing, pulling? They must by some means get out of that pit. They're not in their original state. And frantically they're screaming, they're clawing the walls, making noise, or doing some way. They're groaning because they want to get back to their original state. So when you are not living up to what God ordained for you to live up to as sons and daughters of God, doesn't that cause something within you to groan? I think so. Then listen to the groan. Learn to just die. Just die to self. Revelation chapter 5. But now they've been all these years until now we have the earnest of our inheritance. Oh my. What do we have? We have the evidence that God lives. We have the evidence that God is with us. We have the evidence that God has not forsaken us, that we are His and He is ours, because we in our bodies, we now tabernacle the Holy Spirit of God that cries out, Abba, Father. And there's nothing can ever take that away. We are anchored in Christ. Now the tree does not have it. Nature does not have it. But yet we are still groaning with them because as yet we haven't received the fullness of our adoption. But we have the earnest of it, that we were picked up from the things of the world and now become sons and daughters of God. What kind of people ought we to be then? Oh my, when we think of that, think of it. Now we have the earnest, our spirits groaning for the full adoption. But now we have the earnest of it. As we receive the Holy Spirit, it is the earnest of our complete adoption, our complete salvation. Oh, how beautiful. I love that. And from Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says, so that's when he can express the preeminence, as you see. He's got the man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean? All right. That's secondly. First, to express himself completely God in Christ. Second, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, his bride, so that he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. All right. And thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its right position that fell by sin in the garden. Back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowshipped with them, until his entire expression can be expressed through them. And from faithful Abraham, Brother Bram said, and all the world is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting for the church to get back into its place again, sons of God to be made manifest, waiting for that hour. Hope that don't hurt, but I just had to say it. See, the church is so far away from its place, it needs to be back to sons of God again, rulers, governors of the earth, under spiritual reign. It will be someday when the chief one comes, Jesus Christ, then the great millennium, nature's groaning for that day. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We ask you, Father, just to help us. We ask you, Lord, we love you, Lord, with all that lays within us, and we know that we love you because you first loved us. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, to kill off the body of this death, our own thinking, our own nature, Father. And may your nature live itself in us. Father, we know that Jesus Christ died so that we could live. Now help us, Father, to die so that he might live again in each of us. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's just sing that song, The Lord Bless Thee and Keep Thee. The Lord Make His Face Shine Upon Thee.